right, welcome to another edition of To Homer and Back, the official podcast of Streaking the Lawn. Thanks for joining us this week. My name is Pierce. I've got a couple of my usual colleagues here tonight. Caroline, how's it going?
Hey, it's good. Hey,
that's good to hear. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Pierce. How are you?
Glad you could join us again on the cast. We've got a lot to talk about. We've had a couple football games since our last episode. But let's talk about the presidential debate. No, I don't want to talk about that. Okay, let's see. So the UConn game, we didn't have a podcast after, and that's a bit of a shame because I had a lot to say. But I'm sure we all really did.
Probably for the best we didn't talk about that game.
Yeah, it's probably the good that those opinions aren't a matter of record. But after the Central Michigan game where the Hoos won, I'm sure everyone listening to this knows it was their first win of the year, a win where they blew a 28-point lead.
Can you say that? They never gave
up the lead. Yes, I can say that.
They never gave up the lead.
Yes, they did, because they had the lead, and then it was tied.
But they were never behind.
Which means that they didn't lead the whole game. That's the definition of giving up the lead if the other team ties it.
They were never behind.
Okay, they blew the lead, and then they scored a bunch to win by a bunch.
Yeah, so everything's fine.
Yeah, but nothing I said is false. All right, this sounds like the debate last night. You interrupting
wrong.
Me. I'm being totally professional about it. Okay.
Wait, does that make me sexist then if I'm interrupting?
Yeah, don't I'm call confused. Me Miss Piggy. Don't. Okay. All right. But seriously, or as serious as we get here, I want to hear y'all's reactions to the Michigan game. But also, I want to hear what you were feeling. How about when in the game you went, oh God, here it goes again? Was it when they tied it? Was it after Central Michigan scored their first one and you were like, oh, there's shutouts or something between? Matt, why don't we go ahead and start with you? Give me some impressions following that game.
No, it was definitely a 28-7. but once they got to 14 by the half, I was 100% convinced that we were going to lose and lose by double digits. And I still think that I was probably close to being right, because I think if there isn't an 85-yard touchdown pass on blown coverage, that we still end up losing that game. Mm-hmm. So I'm not as optimistic as Caroline is, even though we did end up winning by 21. I think it's a bit of a false score, but we're not going 0-12, which is better than I was expecting 7 days ago.
That's huge for sure.
Yeah, so I'll take any victories, really.
Yeah, I mean, when they scored real quick to cut it to 14 right before the half, I think that to me was a clear indication that things were not going to go smoothly. I will say, you know, the blown coverage on the long touchdown to Oz was, blown coverage, but also, like, if you're going to discredit that and say, like, whoa, blown coverage, so, you know, it was luckier or whatever to have that play happen. Well, I mean, we give up a lot of blown coverage plays, too. So, you know, you got to discredit those if they don't factor into
what
other teams are doing.
It was a freakishly good throw, rolling to his left.
That was a great throw.
50 yards in the air.
Caroline, what were your impressions following it?
Yeah, so the first time I had that gut feeling of like, was probably the pick six, not going to lie, to make it 28-21. Mm-hmm. Just because that play was very like, that one hurt. That one was, but I will say it was very, what Coach Mendenhall said after the game about the feeling in the stadium could not have been more accurate. Mm-hmm. Like, and that is something that, and it is tough to do, because I felt it, and I'm, as you all make fun of me, very optimistic and always want to think that good things are going to happen, but I still felt that way, and that's something that we've been conditioned over a decade of mistakes to expect teams to come back in the game, except now it looks like they've found a way to stay positive and combat it. But he said that you could feel it, that there's this pressure on the back of his head, like the back of his neck, coming down from the stands of, oh, here we go again. And it was 100% felt that way in the stadium. Like,
sure.
I get, like, I will say, it's going to be a very unpopular opinion alert, but I was very disappointed in the student section because they left. Like, especially first years, you should be there the whole time because, honestly, you don't know any different. Like, this is a little bit of me getting on my podium and being a little complaining. But, like, at no point were we losing that game. You know when they need the fans? When it's 28-28. So don't disappear. Don't say, oh, no, not again. Oh, here we go again. Like, what else do you have going on at 2:30?
It was really hot.
I sat out there. I did have a pretty good summer. What I'm saying is, like, what else are you don't like? You have to buy in. You have to try. Like, I don't know. But yeah. I will say it's kind of fun when it's a lot of the diehards. And everyone makes fun of me because I rag on that sometimes about, like, oh, did you go? Are you a real fan? I know people can't get there, and people have other stuff going on, or they've got kids that they've got to get to,
or they don't want to, you know, spend time, money, and energy on a losing football team.
Like, I get that, too. I get that, too. Like, you have to earn it. It's all about Bronco and earning things. I 100% get that. But it was nice to see, and I'll say, like, after the UConn game, I went to that game and talked to a couple of the kids afterwards. The looks on their faces, like, was the most heartbreaking thing, where you just like, because that's why I didn't really, I mean, I want to win because it's like, Sunday was way more fun after a win. Saturday night was way more fun after a win, even if you're not like, it just feels like you like to win. No, everyone likes winning. No one wants to lose. But the looks on these kids' faces of like, where it was so close and they'd made so many like good strides, like to see them get over that hump and like, achieve that and celebrate together, and that they waited for Bronco to celebrate that 100th win with him, like that it meant as much to them as it did to him. Like, it just, I think this is a good, important win over a team that frankly is good. Like, Central Michigan had a solid team.
Yeah, it's the best team next to Oregon that they've played.
100%.
For sure. What do you see specifically in Benkert, in his progression, in what he's bringing to the team? Certainly breaking the single game passing record in school history is a pretty clear indication against, again, a good defense, a very good defense in the Chippewas. Should we be fully confident now? Should we, you know, take back maybe some of the question marks that we had throughout the beginning of the year?
So I'd like to point out that I never had questions about Kurt. I've always been on Team Kurt. And I maintain the only thing I'll say is that I might be wrong about him winning the Heisman this year. But there's obviously still some accuracy concerns, but it's great to see a guy who can run and still unleash a 50-yard bomb. Because we've had one or the other in terms of, like, we had Vic Hall and Jameel Sewell, who could run but weren't great passers, and then we had Mark Verica, who couldn't do either.
Hey, he's the record that was broken, though. So
I know, which is why I don't really count it.
He had some good games.
That Duke game
was nuts. I think he still opens up aspects of the offense that we haven't had before, even though it's not as perfect as we would like for it to be at times. I'm still 100% on the bandwagon.
He's awesome. Let's keep in mind one thing. That was his fourth career start in college.
Totally.
And he broke a school record. And not just a school record where it was like, I mean, he was the eighth best performer in college football on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like, he crushed it. I was very happy with. There's a few that he's still a little, especially early in the game, notice he's a little rusty at the very beginning, or jumpy, or overthrows a few passes, or there was one pass on Saturday that we were so lucky wasn't picked off.
Oh yeah.
That the entire stadium went like when he threw into triple coverage. But other than that, I think he makes good decisions, which is what I really like to see. Obviously, I think everyone likes to see. Like, he seems to be able to read the situation pretty well. Like, you could hear on that pass to Oz, there was a whole bunch of people in the stadium just yelling, run! Because, like, he probably could have gotten the first down.
Right.
And maybe if he doesn't complete that pass, we're saying, oh, he should have run for the first down. Like, why go big like that? But he placed it perfectly, and it worked out amazingly. Which, my favorite commentating of the game when I watched it again was when the guy at the end's like, well, that'll work. Like, as the end zone. I was like, yeah, it does work. But I think that's the biggest thing for me. It's like, I really like his confidence. He shakes off the bad stuff. He takes responsibility for the bad stuff. He'll say, like, oh, that was my fault. I didn't see such and such. Mm-hmm. But then he also appears, like, the leadership aspect appears to be there as well. So I like what I've seen over four games. We don't have a huge, you know, be a Heisman next year for sure, 100%.
Well, I'll say you can see a definite decision from whether it be him or the coordinator to throw the ball down the field. I think the common criticism early has been just relying on the checkdowns, and that's probably the quarterback. You know, that's not the coaching saying these are your options and make sure you take the quick, easy one first. So it was good to see that there's, you know, been progression there for sure. And again, against one of the better defenses, they'll probably see all year. So I'm sure we're all on team KBK. Kurt Benkert, for sure. What were some other positives from the game besides, you know, the win? What's some stuff that stuck out to you to look forward to for the rest of the year?
Well, I really liked a lot of the last couple games. Wide receiver play has been very good. I like seeing guys like Joe Reed and Hassis Dubois get involved, as well as like Warren Kraft, like those guys. I think that's really important because it provides other options, as well as having consistent play. Like, you can trust Reed and Smoke and Oz, obviously, all to catch it too. So that's kind of it's a great asset to have on the offense. But my biggest thing from this week, I absolutely love downfield blocking. Like, I have always been just downfield blocking. Like, I think it's more irritated watching games on TV randomly or whatever. That's like, someone doesn't hustle down the field, doesn't get the block, like all this stuff. But I love downfield blocking. So when Eric Smith, the 6'5", 300-pound tackle, got down the field and was clearing ground for Smoke on that last touchdown play. He ran like 35 yards before Smoke even got behind him. And this is in the fourth quarter. Like, this to me is all Frank Wintrick. Like, the conditioning and the ability for these guys, like, in 95 degree weather, Eric Smith was out there for 3+ quarters in the trenches, like, blocking, doing all this like hard gutty work, even though, you know, Paul knows they're not skill positions, but I'm kidding. Don't hurt
me, Paul. Well, the final guy fell down. He didn't even want a part.
He wanted no piece. Yeah. Number seven
that was
made
my favorite part.
And he's like, nope. He noped out of that bad boy real quick. He's like, no, thank you. But just like the hustle. And he wasn't even like, and the commentators mentioned that too, that he's down. He's like, look at the big man, Eric Smith. Like, he's in the end zone. Like, he doesn't have his hands on his knees. Like, he hustled, he got stuff done, and he was like directing traffic, like Smoke, like, go behind me. Like, I loved it the whole time. I was like, look at the downfield blocking. So anyway, that was my, I would love to see more of that. All this right.
Well, Matt, I got a question for you.
Have
any of your, let's see, I don't know, criticisms or areas of concern or things you were worried about, have any of them been assuaged? Have any of them been resolved? Are you feeling better about something that you weren't feeling good about? Besides just the basic, we're not going to win any games this year, and now we have, so I don't have to worry about that. Is there anything specific that you've seen that you're now optimistic about?
Kind of, which is about as optimistic as I get. So one thing that I like, and I think we've seen it, I didn't see it against Richmond because we didn't see anything against Richmond, but against Oregon, UConn, and Central Michigan is Anai. Is that how we pronounce the offensive coordinator's name? It's my first time on the podcast.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll go with that. I think he can clearly set up a game plan that works well, because we've gotten off to fast starts in three straight games now. Mm-hmm. The other side to that, so he's doing something right during the week to prep. The other side to that is that we've gotten off to fast starts and then consistently had long droughts. Mm-hmm. So against, you know, against UConn, it was 10 points in the first quarter and then nothing for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And against Central Michigan, it was 28 points in, you know, 18 mm-hmm. minutes and then nothing for half an hour. Mm-hmm. And then 21 points in the last 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. So I love that we have someone who actually seems to put together a game plan during the week that changes based on opponents, because that's a nice little tweak that's enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But we'll see if he can continue to adjust as the teams adjust during the game, because I still think there's a little bit of a concern there as to how we alter our game plan when they make defensive changes.
Gotcha. Well, maybe more specifically to the both of you, or actually I'm going to answer this too, but how has your outlook changed from right after the UConn game, so 0-3, what am I thinking for the rest of the year, to the outlook now after the Central Michigan game? And I'll go ahead and jump in first, because I want to say definitively that UConn is absolutely the worst team we've played yet. And so talk of progression that we had after the Oregon game, to me, completely fell flat watching the UConn game in terms of improvement, in terms of things to look for that could be strengths later in the field, later in the year, strengths now. UConn is awful. Just awful. And Caroline, feel free to correct me if you disagree. You were there in person. But Richmond is lights better than UConn. And we looked awful after those first 10 minutes, for sure. I mean, we couldn't score against this garbage team. So, my post-UConn outlook was, you know, they've got to win a game because they've got to. And I've already sat through an 0-16 Detroit Lions season once in my lifetime. I'm not trying to go through that again. Statistically, they've got to win a game. But what's it going to be? You know, maybe they'll get a couple here and there. Maybe we'll improve enough to give the Hokies a game late and scare them at least or something. But after the Central Michigan game, I mean, they look – at home, much better. So I'm thinking maybe it's a 1 or 2 wins, maybe 3 or 4 wins for the outlook. So, Darnes, how's your outlook changed?
I think that there were things that they did well in the UConn game that I continued to see in the Central Michigan game, such as Andrew Brown's coming out party against UConn mm-hmm. continued against Central Michigan, even if his stat line doesn't necessarily jump off the page at you. Sure. He was being held all game, by the way. Oh, my God. But you can just see, like, he's getting double-teamed and fighting through two dudes and, like, putting pressure. We put so much pressure on Cooper Rush, even if it wasn't necessarily getting hands on him, but we definitely sped him up, which I liked to see because that's something that we didn't really get in the first two games. I don't necessarily fully agree that Richmond was that much better, like light years ahead of UConn. I think Brad Sheriffs is a talented quarterback, and they have Thomas is such a good receiver for them. I think our defense played very well, but we made a couple mistakes on offense that just we couldn't get stuff done. So I don't know. I would agree that they are the worst team that we've played so far. Mm. I don't know if I'd put Richmond light years ahead of them. Mm. Being at the game, I felt like we were outplaying them considerably. It just wasn't reflected on the scoreboard. And that was one of those things that was so frustrating with like going down and not getting points. So that is something that obviously was concerning. It was nice to see them put up 49 points. That's awesome. Like to look at the scoreboard and be like, 49 points, that's 7 touchdowns. But the kicking thing is going to be a little stressful. So
sure.
I think that the emotional aspect of not only getting the first win, but getting the first win in the way that they did, that it was a gutsy win. You know, like you looked at Twitter and everyone's relishing in the fact that we, to use your terminology, blew a 28-point lead.
Which is what they did. How is that not blowing a lead? I can't get over this.
It's just was like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, look at Virginia, LOL, or Kirk Herbstreit and his, they won't win a game this year. Like, so it was kind of nice to see these guys like dig down and come back, and not only come back and like win by a touchdown, but score 21 straight points after letting them score 28 is,
for sure.
I think that will do more for them in the long run than if they had just cruised to a win. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, so absolutely.
I think that gives me a little bit more hope going forward that if they can use this momentum, I think that they've got the biggest problem I see right now is we were already thin defensively, especially like on the corners, losing Juan Thornhill and Tim Harris. Juan probably not for the whole season, Thornhill for the whole season, but Tim Harris is out for the whole season. So we're relying on a redshirt freshman and a sophomore as our primary corners. So
yeah,
it's tough when you have a good passing team. So
for sure. Matt, how about you? Was there any significant change in your outcome predictions for the year following this win?
I could see us winning an ACC game now. So I don't know if we want to get into the specifics there. I think we'll probably end up with 3 wins on the season. Just because I think, weirdly, it's the first time in years to say this, but I think the ACC schedule is actually hard.
Yeah.
All the teams we get at home, I think, are really good teams. But we're definitely going to beat Louisville. I'm 100% confident that we're going to beat Louisville, and that's going to start Benkert's Heisman campaign for next year.
Yeah. I won't be there, so I can almost also guarantee that win.
I won't be like there either.
That would happen to me.
I have another idiot friend getting married on a college football Saturday.
Why do people get married in the fall?
It's just so rude. It's just so rude. Anyway, he doesn't listen to this. He knows I think he's an idiot. Anyway, okay. So, well, let's go ahead and say it. How many ACC wins do you expect to see this season? I'll go ahead and start with 2. Yeah.
Which 2. Ones? Where? What do you?
Which ones? Let's say one of the like better teams at home for sure. So let's say like Pitt. You know, Pitt just always seems to play bad at Scott Stadium.
That's true.
And then either at Wake or at Georgia Tech. So probably at Wake. I'll say Pitt and Wake.
I'll go with 2 as well. I'll say Wake and Miami because we always seem to beat Miami in Charlotte. I don't understand how.
Mike London always seems to beat Miami.
Yeah,
no,
right. That was his bring him in for a game.
Right. Yeah, he can coach 1 game this year. Yeah, I think I agree. Wake, Miami, and if it's not Miami, it'll definitely be Louisville. So maybe we get to 4.
I'm gonna go 4.
4 wins.
Yeah.
All right. 4, what are they?
4 Duke, in addition to the one we just had.
Yeah. Duke, Pitt, Wake, and Georgia Tech.
Okay.
If not, I'm almost tempted to say one of the Wake Georgia Tech because they're both away, and then one of the remaining. I'm willing to take 1 out of the 3 last away games. So Wake, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. I think we get one of those. And I think we randomly get one of the UNC Louisville Miami just on.
Okay. Stop saying Louisville. Like there's
okay. One of the UNC Miami.
Okay.
Just out of sheer, why not? And we're at home and we went on some random play and it's close. You know, like one of those things. Like, yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Caroline, I don't know if you know this stat. It hasn't been thrown around a lot on the podcast.
I'm really good on the road.
But UVA hasn't won a road game in quite a long time.
Well, Tony Bennett. Not around for basketball. So.
That's true. That's
true. I was still in college the last time we won a road game.
I remember
watching it at a friend's apartment. It's been that long.
You had friends at the time.
Right.
And that was a while ago.
You're burnt.
In college, it was great.
I don't know. I think Duke is a good opportunity coming off the high with, and yes, they just beat Notre Dame, so there's going to be some sort of emotional high for them as well. But I think there's, if it's one of those, if they can get, why not? Shit, there's something else to lose.
Well, they've sort of, like to your point earlier, they've sort of already fought the same old UVA by pulling out that Central Michigan game. I mean, that was an unexpected unstereotypical Virginia football thing to do. To watch.
As far as Bronco's concerned, and he said this, and I love that he said this, he's like, I'm not, you know, oh for the last 50 mm-hmm. seasons on the road. He's like, I just got here. Like, we've played two road games, one of them against number 20, you know, 22.
Right, right.
An Olympian in the wide receiver position. Like,
all right, it wasn't all Devin What's-His-Face beating UVA.
It was all Devin Allen. I hope he gets better soon. I'm sad that he's hurt.
So. Yeah. All right, well, let's go to our new fan favorite segment of Defend Yourself. And we
as
could
a fan
go with
actually
this.
Said they liked it.
No one comments on these.
Well,
except in person, actually. I
actually did get one person that said they liked that.
All right. Well, this week's Defend Yourself could be about your elementary school, high school hot dog toppings of choice, but I'd rather talk about football. Now let's talk about ketchup. Ketchup does not belong on a hot dog. Ketchup, Matt, do you agree?
I 100% agree.
Thank you.
No
Matt.
One should put it on there. It's sacrilege. It's awful.
Darn. This is the Virginia Tech of condiments.
What does
no
it even mean?
It. I don't
what
know.
What does that mean?
Doesn't belong.
It means mustard wins more football games than UVA does.
Based on the Orioles games I've gone to, mustard has actually done a very good job in the hot dog races. I will say that.
Okay. Fair, I guess.
Yeah. Mustard is just gross.
All right, but let's actually talk about the power rankings, because I got a couple things that I want you all to defend. Mainly, Darns, we'll start with you and just keep attacking you. Georgia Tech at 14 in your power rankings. How? Georgia Tech is what, won three games, is 1-0 in the conference after beating Boston College, and you have them dead last in your ACC power rankings. Two behind Virginia. Explain.
Honestly, that was a mistake. After I posted and I looked, I was like, no, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, you have perfectly defended yourself there.
It's the worst defend myself ever. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I apologize to all the Yellow Jacket fans out there. I did it in a rush and was like, yeah, they haven't been very good, have they? I don't know. I don't want to put us in last. And then just kind of went.
Yeah.
Sorry, Georgia Tech.
Ellis, I want to know why, and this seemed to be a popular thing, but why do you have Miami so high, number four, behind some teams that have won big games against real competition?
I mean, you know, Miami's best win is probably Appalachian State. But, you know, they went to a road game at Appalachian State that we would have lost by 3 touchdowns.
Okay, well, yeah, they're better than Virginia. I'll give you that.
Right, but when you look at it, right, it's Louisville, and then it's Clemson, and then it's five other teams. And I gave it to Miami over Florida State because Miami hasn't lost by 50 to anyone yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're, you know, of the undefeated teams, it's either them or it's Wake, and Wake hasn't played anybody. If we had Wake schedule, we'd be talking about going to the playoff right now. So it can't be them. So I think they finally actually have a good coach for once, which is weird for them as it is for us.
Yep.
So, yep. Absolutely. Next step is them getting fans in the stadium.
Right. Well, that's
that'll never happen.
Something both of us can work on.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, why don't we settle up with some clear cut predictions for the Duke game. Tell me a score and who you think's going to be, you know, a couple MVPs, a couple most important players, but you're not allowed to say Kurt Benkert. Well, Matt, we'll start with you.
So I think Duke wins. Shocking. I'll go with, yeah, right, of course. I'll go with 28-20. My MVP is Kurt Benkert. I don't care about your rules because there can only be one MVP.
I need a Tony Reale button.
It's Kurt. You know, we will fall short in spite of his efforts because we're going to miss three field goals and we're okay. And then we'll have so much to talk about next week. So that's what I'm going with.
All right, Darns.
I'm gonna go 34-27. And Alex Furbank is my MVP. Just despite Matt.
34-27 who?
Oh, Virginia.
Duh. Oh, of course.
Duh. No, I do. I do think they'll win.
Really?
I hope they win.
Okay. Well, I know you hope they win.
Have a good, a better than good chance at winning. Let's say that, even though ESPN has them at like.
No, I'm pretty on this, but do you think they're going to win?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Because I think that they're going to use the momentum and some of the confidence gained from the last game.
Sure.
And I think that outside of Alex Furbank hitting like a 50 yarder, I'm going to say, Oz again. I think he's become a huge, huge role in our offense. I think that he's extraordinarily important to our success, as illustrated by him not playing the first half against Richmond.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm going to say, I think we're going to lose by a couple scores. I don't think it'll be like an embarrassing, frustrating, or, you know, any sort of like, oh, another mistake. I just don't think they're going to match up enough to hang in there over four quarters. So I'll say something like 35-20, which implies that we're going to kick some field goals. So I'm not sure how that's going to happen.
Or just miss an extra point.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Let's keep in mind, too, that, I mean, Duke is, I think, it's Thomas Davis, is that the right name, is their quarterback? Mm. I think that he played a good game last week against Notre Dame. Obviously, he basically got their defensive coordinator fired, so there's that. Oh, Daniel Jones. What am I thinking of? Daniel Jones. But they also just, unfortunately for Duke's team, lost their starting corner. So there could be a pretty good battle here with the, I don't know, I think it lends some sort of narratives to the game. I think it'll be interesting to see. They're only averaging two more points per game than us. Mm-hmm. We do allow a few more, but then again, we did have to play Oregon. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's something that there are some storylines. Like if they had Cirque, I would be less confident in the matchup. And I think there's just some pieces to it where, cool. I mean, Kurt has 10 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, but, he's obviously, like we talked about, he's growing into the role. So yeah. I think it'll be interesting. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I agree with you. I don't think it'll blow out either way.
All right. Well, I will say one last thing in a prediction. I think we're going to start getting that pass rush to be not just a little disruptive as we've seen, but I think actually start forcing some turnovers, you know, potentially defensive touchdown or something like that. I think we have seen that get better and better. And certainly Andrew Brown has a lot to do with that. But I'm going to go with somebody like Chris Peace coming off the edge, making some sort of big play, like fumble on their red zone, or, you know, something like that. That, like,
yeah.
If the game does go in Virginia's favor, they're going to have to force some more turnovers and not just some garbage time turnovers. And I think it'll be an easy way to get that done if the edge rush can get there and stop just, you know, barely missing those sacks that we've seen.
So close.
For sure. But, you know, they're going to happen. So I would like to see that. And maybe my prediction will be wrong. Like I said, Darnes, last time, I'm not afraid to pick them to lose and be wrong. Like, I'm totally okay with that. And I hope that that's the case. But we'll go ahead and we'll see what that's like this weekend. Let's see, they play 12:30, on the ACC network on
another Saturday. Prime 12:30 game spot there for us.
Love it. At least we, you know, it's a away game, so we're not tailgating so early. That's just the worst.
Well, if anyone's going, come see me at the UVA tailgate.
UVA tailgate down in Durham.
Yeah.
All right.
Should be a good time.
If you're listening, you go find Caroline, tweet at her. She'll tell you where you are. I'll be watching from the comfort of my living room. Matt, how about you?
I don't think I'll be watching. I'm going to be out of town. So we'll probably win.
You are the worst fan that we have.
Boo. Yeah. Boo this fan. Boo.
They don't have TVs where you're going?
I don't know, actually. I got to figure this out.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
I'm going to like the beach, but it's like a remote place where like you have to ride bicycles because you can't have cars. So I'm not really sure where I'm going.
It might not fancy have, people go.
The television might not be there yet.
It's so like we'll Martha's Vineyard or something.
He's going back in time. He's going to the Lost Island.
Tangier Island, and they have TVs there. So okay, well. For you real fans listening, you can catch them at 12:30. Stay tuned to Streak of the Lawn for more.
You can watch at Pierce's stuff. Place or come say hi to me.
You may not come to my place. Find Darns at the UVA. One of the many UVA tailgates I'm sure will be done in Durham. But until then, yeah, keep it tuned to the blog, and we'll see you next week. Go Hoos!